I had this situation a couple of summers ago. Just before the meeting in here, Mike and I were just sat on the steps and just hanging out a bit before the meeting started. And as we hung out, he just said, "Ali, I'm a bit worried." And I said, "Why are you worried?" And he said, "Well, I keep finding that I'm in conversations with people and I'm telling them something. And when I'm telling it to them, they say, 'Yeah, we know, we've had this conversation before. And it keeps happening to me. And I'm a bit worried. I'm worried that maybe my brain's not all there.'" And I said, "Oh, you don't need to worry about that. There's nothing wrong with you. You're just tired. You're just really tired. Don't worry about it." And we carried on and whatever. And then wait, the next day, we were by the side of the stage again, sitting down before the meeting. And he just says, "Ali, I'm a bit worried." And I said, "Why are you worried?" And he says, "I keep having..." And genuinely, he said exactly the same thing to me. And at this point, I decided not to go for polite dishonesty. I went, "I don't want to freak you out, but we had this conversation yesterday." And this is what you're doing. This is where some of you are at. The minute that I say, you've got a good father who really, really loves you, it's like, "Ali, it's a bit awkward because we already know this. We've been told this. We know this. We sing about it all the time. He's a good, good father. We know it. Our youth leader has told us he's a good father." And yet the truth is that for so many of us, we know the truth. We know it in our head and we like the truth. It sounds nice. "Yeah, I'm loved by a good father." And we like singing the songs, but the truth is we're not living in it. We're not living in all the freedom, in all the peace, in all the joy, in all the security that comes when we really, really, really know that he is a good, kind father who loves us. And for me, this has probably been the biggest sort of story in my faith so far. This more and more and more walking into this truth that I'm loved. And for lots of us, it's a big issue. For lots of us, it's something that trips us up again and again and again. Sometimes that's based because our own father, our earthly father, our dad, we've not had the easiest relationship with him. And automatically what we've done, even without even realizing it, is we look at our earthly dad and we put that onto our heavenly father. And for Mike, I know he had a really tricky relationship with his own dad. And what happened for Mike is that when he became a Christian, actually what happened was when the Spirit filled him, one of the things that changed in Mike was that he suddenly knew in a whole new way that he had a good dad who loved him. And he would say that when that happened, when the Spirit filled him and he got this revelation, this truth hit home, he would just sit on his bed night after night and just say, "Oh my goodness, you're my dad. You're my father. You love me. Oh wow, oh wow, you're my dad. You love me, you're my father. Oh wow." And things began to change from that moment where Mike began to more and more and more live in the love of the Father. Now, for me, it wasn't as dramatic as that. I've got a great dad who loves God and who loves me. My dad is kind. He's encouraging. He's affirming. But the thing about my dad is he's quite laid back. And he's kind of a chilled person. And what would happen, this is one example, what would happen is if there was a guy I liked in the youth group and maybe they came round and we were going to go off on a date, this is how I wanted my dad to respond.
"I don't know who you are. I don't know what you want. If you are looking for a ransom, I can tell you I don't have money, but what I do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills I have acquired over a very long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you. If you let my daughter go now, that'll be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you don't, I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you."
That's what I wanted. That's how I wanted. I wanted a super protective dad. I wanted a dad that would be like, my daughter is so precious. My daughter is the center of my world. You are not coming anywhere near her. But instead, he'd be like, hi, come on in, welcome. And I would often find guys just sat on the sofa telling my dad their life story. And, you know, and sometimes even him praying with them. I didn't want him to pray with them. I wanted him to be like that. And the thing is, what happened is my amazing dad, the thing is, Satan, our enemy, the enemy of our souls, he comes after us to feed us lies and to steal and kill and destroy. That's what Jesus said about him in John 10:10. And so he loves to get in on the dad thing and twist it and make us believe that God isn't good. And what he did in my life is he twisted my dad's laid back away, and he took it a step further and said, your heavenly father is just not that interested. He just doesn't care that much. Yes, he loves you in a sort of general I love my children way, but he's kind of hands off. It's like, yeah, oh right, Ali, one of the many. And for me, the biggest journey for me has been and continues to be that more and more that I'm coming to a place of knowing he loves me. He really loves me. He likes me. He cheers me on. He never leaves me. He's always with me. He enjoys me. He enjoys spending time with me. More and more, he is showing me, this is the love I have for you. And I have no idea what your journey is. I've got no idea what for you, when I say dad, what you think of, what your experience has been. You might have a great dad. You might have an awful dad. You might have a dad that's been actively involved in your life, or a dad that's been absent or abusive or just not there. Whatever your story of your dad, I want you to know, and much more importantly, God wants you to know, you have a father who loves you, who is good, really, really good. And if we want to know what it looks like to really get this, to really, really understand and to know from deep within us that we are loved, if we want to know what that looks like, we just need to look at Jesus. Jesus shows us what it looks like to live in the love of the Father, to live the fullest life possible and live out of that relationship. He knew. He really, really knew. And when Jesus came, one of the reasons why he came was he came to put a face to grace. He came to show us the Father. And it says in John 14:9, Jesus says, anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. And he says in John 10, I am the Father of one. So when we look at Jesus, we begin to understand more of how the Father loves. And one of the reasons why it was so important that Jesus came and put this face to grace to show us what the Father looks like and to show us how the Father loves, one of the reasons why that was so important is because God knew how prone we are, how easily we miss his love, how easily we misunderstand him, and how easily we misinterpret him, where he's saying one thing and we're saying another. You know, like when you go to text someone and predictive text kicks in, and if you're lucky, you catch it. So I was texting Mike once when he wasn't very well, and I meant to text, so sorry, you're poorly. And what I actually wrote was, so sissy, you're porky. And I have to say that I liked it so much, I sent it anyway. Another friend of mine was going to text a friend of hers who was going through a really hard time, was struggling with loneliness. And she went to text. What she wanted to text was, dear friend, you're lovely. And what she texted, what she actually sent was, dead friend, you're lonely. So easy, I know. I think she got ministry. Sometimes we think we know what we're saying, but something else comes across. I know a little bit about this because I married an Australian. And Australians, you know, they sort of technically speak English, but they have different words, you know, they speak a bit differently. And this really came into its own when I first met Joel. He came over from Australia and he met my mum and dad. So we're hanging out at mum and dad's house. And it's in the middle of the summer, so it's hot. And we're in the kitchen, and a wasp comes flying in through the kitchen window. And I'm not very good with wasps at all, so I start freaking out. And Joel, you know, coming to my defense and being my knight in shining armor, he's going to go get it. Now, you need to know something before I say the next thing. In England, we call these flip-flops, yes? In Australia, they call them thongs. And we have another, we understand another thing by the word thong, don't we? Anyway, so we're in the kitchen, wasp flying around, I'm freaking out, Joel comes to rescue me, and so he says to my mum, new boyfriend, to my mum, "Hey Eve, chuck us your thong." She didn't. I'm really glad to say she didn't. We say one thing and something else is understood. And God, through his word, has revealed his love to us. But even as he's doing that, he's saying one thing and we're hearing something else. We're hearing that he's crossed with us. We interpret particularly the Old Testament, but not just the Old Testament. We're not looking, we're not expecting to see the truth that he's our Father who loves us. And what we see is, what we think is there is that he's cross, that he's angry, that he doesn't like us. And what happens if you go and see a film, you're watching a film and you see the images in front of you, that's what's happening. That's the movie. But you know, the thing that makes you feel, what you're really responding to is not the pictures, it's the music, it's the soundtrack. And what happens when we read our Bible and these words are in front of us, maybe even when we sing the songs here and the words are in front of us, often, not always, we're not always aware of it, but what we're hearing is a completely different soundtrack. We're reading the Bible, and the soundtrack that we're playing, even when the words are good, the soundtrack is more like this. And so what we feel when we read the Bible is, he's mad at me, he's cross with me, he doesn't like me, he doesn't accept me, he is not good to me. This is what is playing out. But Jesus came to once and for all change that soundtrack. He came to show us what the Father is really like. And the Father is full of love. He's a good Father. And so when we're reading the Bible, we need to lay over everything that we read with the face of Jesus and the love of Jesus, because he came to show us what the Father is like. So when you're reading about Jesus and you see how he treats the woman who was bleeding, how he treats the woman that was caught having sex with a man who wasn't her husband, when you see the way he treated blind Bartimaeus or Zacchaeus up in the tree, when you look and you see the cross, that's the picture. Jesus is the picture. His life and his death is the picture of a Father who loves us, who is for us, not against us, who is kind, who draws close, who has compassion. He came to put a face to grace. And I want to give an example from the Bible. Just one passage. I could have chosen all kinds of ones, but I want to show it in one passage so that we begin to see what we often do and that we can begin to see where the truth really lies. And the passage is in Luke 12, and it's a passage about worry. Maybe you've read it before. I'm just going to read it. Luke 12, starting at verse 22, and this is Jesus teaching. And he says this, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. I was reading that one day not so long ago, and as I was reading it, the soundtrack was blaring. I'm reading the words, don't worry about this, don't worry about this, don't even think about that. And the soundtrack that is blaring out is, oh, for goodness sake, Ali, I know you worry about these things. I know you worry about your clothes. I know you worry about what you're going to eat and drink. I know you do. And inside, how I'm responding to that soundtrack is I'm going, oh, I'm rubbish. I can't get this. I've disappointed him. I've let him down. I worry and he doesn't want me to worry. And he's telling me this is what's going on. And then thankfully, I kept reading because the next verse says this. So do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Jesus is saying here, there is a fear that is at the root of every other fear that we have. And that root fear, the bottom line for us, is we fear that he is not good and that he is not pleased. And Jesus says here, don't be afraid, little flock. The tenderness, there's a new soundtrack there. The tenderness that says little flock, or another version translated as dear ones. Don't be afraid, little ones. Don't be afraid because you've got a Father. And I love that he says for your Father, because in the Gospels we see so often the relationship between Jesus and his Father, and he's including us so purposefully in it. He's saying your Father, don't be afraid, little ones, your Father, your good Father, he has been pleased. So he's not reluctant. He's not angry. He's not holding back. He's not standoffish. He's pleased to give you the kingdom. What is the kingdom? It's all that is God's. In other words, everything. So don't be afraid, little ones. You've got a good Father who is pleased to pour into your life everything that is his. There is a worry, the fear that you think he's not good, that you think he's not pleased. But look, you've got a Father who loves you. And as I said, I could have picked all kinds of different verses to say that and to show that. But that's just one example. And do you know, as you read the Gospels and you look at how Jesus talks about God, the main way that he chooses to talk about God is not as Lord, even though he is, and it's not as King, even though he is. The main way that Jesus wants to communicate who God is he says, he's your dad. Get this, he is your dad who is pleased. And he speaks into our worries. He goes for them head on and says, start with my love. Start with knowing I'm your Father, a good Father. And this is the truth. This is the truth. And this is why we need the soundtrack rewriting. Don't miss the tenderness. Don't misinterpret him. Don't think he's saying one thing and then receive something else. We need to receive by looking at Jesus. Look at the face of grace. And see, we have a Father who is good and kind. Jesus came to rewrite that soundtrack and to show us what the Father's like, but he also came to show us what it looks like when we get this, what it looks like when we live in the love of the Father. When Jesus started his ministry on earth, the thing that happened right at the beginning was we read about the baptism of Jesus. And when Jesus was baptized, the Spirit came on him and the voice of the Father said, this is my Son, with him I am well pleased. The Father spoke over Jesus what was already true. This was not news to Jesus. This was not like, oh my goodness, I didn't know that. He already knew. And Jesus, knowing that he was loved, then goes on to show us what that life, what it looks like to live in that love. We see that Jesus lived a life of courage, of boldness, of power. There was no need for Jesus to people please. He wasn't restricted by that. That Jesus wasn't insecure. He lived in the love of the Father. And we see how often in the Gospels he would disappear off for time by himself with his Father, not because his youth leader had told him he had to have a quiet time, but because he knew that he enjoyed time with the Father and that the Father enjoyed him, because he knew that that relationship was the source of everything, of his stability, of his strength, of his wisdom. He went there. He needed to rest and be alone with his Father. What would your life look like if you really knew, if you really got that you were loved, unconditionally, completely loved, if you knew that he was really, really good? What would happen to your people pleasing? What would happen to your guilt and shame? What would happen to your anxiety and fears? What would happen to your need for likes on Instagram? What would happen to your risk-taking? What would your life look like if, like Jesus, you really, really knew that you were loved? When we look at the life, the full life, the adventurous life that Jesus lived, we look at that and we see what it could be to really live as a loved son, as a loved daughter. So Jesus not only came to show us what the Father was like and then to show us what it looks like to live in the love of the Father, he didn't just come to do those things and so that we could admire it from the outside and say, that looks really great. Wow, Jesus, you really knew that you were loved. That's great for you. If that's all it was, it would be like watching a team of your friends playing football together and you standing on the sidelines and going, yay. But instead, we're invited in. He says, come and play. You're part of this. This is for you too. It's like if you're walking down the street and you see a restaurant and it's got big glass windows, and as you walk past, you see your favorite people having dinner together. That doesn't do any good for you, does it? If they're all there and having a nice time, you know, about to have great food, enjoying each other's company, if you're just walking by. But if they open up the doors and say, you're here, we've been waiting for you. This was for you. This is a surprise. Come on in. We're going to eat together. We're going to hang out together. We're going to have fun. This is what Jesus does. He says, you see me and the Father? This is for you too. You see what I did on the cross? This was to make a way so that you would know that you're invited in, and so that this can now be true for all of us. See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. Love has been lavished on us. We're his children. We are accepted by him, chosen by him. He draws close to us. He loves us wholeheartedly, passionately. He's our good Father. And too often we live like his love is kind of limited, like he's a good father in little bits, like having really limited data allowance on your phone and then being stuck on a showground for 5 days and wondering how you're going to make it last. And we sort of think we've got to eke out God's love, like there's this much of it and I can enjoy this much of it. He's lavish love on us. This is unlimited, unlimited supply. This is all you can eat buffet. That's what his love is. It says in Psalm 23, you lay a feast before me. And the feast that he's laid for us is his goodness and his mercy. And Jesus has invited us in and said, come, enjoy. Know that he loves you. He came to change the soundtrack. He came to show us how life can be when we live in that love. And he came to say, come on. Come and enjoy it too. Because of the cross, come and enjoy it too. And we struggle to believe it. So often we think this is for other people. This isn't for me. He doesn't really love me. Some of us were aware that it's the major thing that we struggle with. Maybe it is because of our relationship with our dad that we know it's the major thing that's like, I just don't know. I just don't know if you're good. Others of us, we think we get it. We think, oh yeah, he's my good father. But then something happens. Maybe we're praying about something and we're suddenly aware of this thought. I think you would do it for someone else, but I'm not sure you would do it for me. Or maybe in worship, we're like, I'm not sure you want to hear my songs because I'm not sure that you like me that much. And we suddenly notice, maybe I'm not living in this. So then how? How do we do it? How do we move from a place of just holding the knowledge of his love up here to really living out of it, to feasting on his love? Well, the truth is we can't get there on our own. We can't do it by ourselves. It has to be something that the Spirit of God shows us. Just like for Mike that day, it has to be something he does for us. It says in Romans 8:14, those who are led by the Spirit are the children of God. And it is by him, it's by the Spirit that we cry, Abba, Father. And so, yeah, just like in that picture with Mike, where Mike got it, because the Spirit showed him, it wasn't that Mike went, I now understand that you're my dad. He knew it, and so, oh my goodness, you're my dad, you love me. And that's what the Spirit can do for us. That's what he wants to do for us, to show us that we're loved. We cannot get there on our own. We can't get there by gritting our teeth and just, I am determined that I would get this. We can't even get it just by reading our Bible. It's as we read our Bible and as we enjoy his company and we ask the Holy Spirit, change the tune, change the soundtrack, show me. A couple of years ago here at Soul Survivor, I was just about to give a seminar. And as I was just about to do the seminar, I had a song stuck in my head from way back, like I'd been listening to the wrong radio station, even though I hadn't. And the song that was going through my head, and it wouldn't leave me alone, was that song, I Wanna Know What Love Is. I wanna know what love is. You know when they do that, yeah, you know? And that was what was going through my head, just like that. And the next line is, I want you to show me. And this kept going through my head. And even though to start with, I was quite enjoying it, I was having my own little party in my head, then it wouldn't leave me. So I was like, is that you, God? Are you singing to me in an 80s ballad? And I felt like he was saying, yes, it's me. And so I said, what do you want me to do with this song? And so as I just sat there trying to listen to him, I felt like he said, there's someone here who there's been talk of love, songs of love, but he just doesn't get it at all. He doesn't know. And he's been saying to a friend, even today, I just actually don't think I even know what love is. I just don't even know. And what God sort of, I sensed him whispering was, I want to be the one to show him. And so just before I gave my seminar, I just said, I told that, and I just said, I didn't go into the whole song. I just said, you know, I think there's someone here and you don't know what love is and you've been saying to a friend, so on and so forth. And I just said, if that's you, can I just encourage you to get some prayer? Because God really wants to meet with you. He wants to begin to show you his love. And I didn't think anything more of it until last year at the festivals. Someone came and slipped me a note, and they just said, you had this word, and it was for me. I was that person. I had no idea, but I got prayer that morning, and Jesus met with me, and he began to show me. And then they wrote this. They said, this last year of my life has been completely different. That's what it looks like when we live in the love of the Father. When we get it, when he shows us it and we receive it, we can live in that truth, and everything changes. Everything changes. Jesus said that you will know the truth, and the truth is going to set you free. And knowing that truth is not about, I understand God is my good Father. That's not what it means to know the truth. Knowing the truth and the freedom that comes from that, it's about knowing the truth. It's not just understanding it with our head. It's knowing it right in our hearts. And often there's a big gap from here to here. And we need the Holy Spirit to come and transfer that knowing from our heads to our hearts. It'd be a bit like if I said to you, do you like football? And you said, yeah, I like football. I watch it sometimes if it's on telly. I might get drawn into a game. Yeah, it's all right. I quite like football. And then you could say to someone else, do you like football? And they're like, oh my goodness. You know, I support this team. I never miss a game, whether it's home or away. I've had a season ticket for as long as I can remember. I always used to go as a child. I would never miss it. I've redecorated my bedroom in the colours. And then, let me tell you, my favourite player. Let me just tell you. And then there was that time, you know, however many years ago, when this game. And you think, oh no, you like football. You think you like football, but you, oh my goodness. This person that every now and again watches it, yeah, I like football. I have a bit of understanding. This person loves and lives football. And we can either be the sort of people that go, yes, I have a good father. Yes, he loves me. Or we could be the people that say, I know it. I live it. I love it. I love the truth that he is for me and that he's kind and that he's interested and caring and that he's never going to leave me. And no matter what I do and all the ways that I mess up and I know that I mess up, he's going to keep loving me. It's never going to stop. It's never going to run out. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. That's the job of the Holy Spirit, to take it from here and move it here. He can do it for us like he did for that person that got prayer at Soul Survivor a couple of years ago, and everything can be different. He can bring that revelation where we come alive in that truth. And for some of us, he'll do it in a moment. Like for Mike, you know, when the Holy Spirit showed him and he was like, oh, wow. For some of us, that's how it's going to be. For many of us, it's going to be a journey. It's going to be something that he, as we ask him, he's going to begin to lead us and draw us more and more into that truth. That's one of the things the Spirit loves to do. It says in John 16 in the Message version, but when the Friend comes, that's the Spirit of truth, he will take you by the hand and guide you into all the truth there is. And I love that picture because apart from anything else, it's a really intimate picture. You know, you don't tend to hold hands with a stranger. But he said, I'm going to take you by the hand and I'm going to take you on a journey. I'm going to take you on a process where more and more and more you get this. And you know, even when you've had that moment of revelation, even when you've had the wow moment, still he loves to do it. Still he says, are you up for me showing you more? Are you up for me taking you deeper and deeper into the truth of my love? That's the job of the Holy Spirit. What's our part if we want to get this and live this and enjoy this? One of the things is to ask him. Say, Holy Spirit, I'd love it if you would show me how much I'm loved. Give him permission and space to show us. But the other thing I think that it would be good for us to do and to be aware of is if we want to live more and more in God's love, then we might need to change our diet a bit. It might be really helpful if we stopped feeding on lies. It's funny how the lies draw us back. You know, it's like a really bad Chinese takeaway or a quarter pounder with cheese meal. You know it's not that good for you, but you think, you know, and when you have a bad Chinese, you're like, I'm never doing that again. And then it doesn't take long before you're like, actually, quite fancy that rubbish. And it's a bit like that with the lies, that we know they're not good for us, but we keep going back to, I think he loves everyone else and not me. Yeah, I think that's true. I think maybe he's cross with me. I think maybe he's keeping me at arm's length for a while. And maybe once he's calmed down about how bad I am, maybe I'll be allowed back in somewhere near. And instead of saying, hold on, that's not true. That's not what the Bible says. That's not true. Instead, we sit and we pick away at that and we live out of that. And one of the things that would be really good if we could ask the Holy Spirit to just wake us up, that when we start going to that place of picking and snacking on those horrible lies, that we would wake up and go, that's not true. I don't accept that. I receive again the truth that he's my Father who loves me. Let's not keep living like the love of God is a story that we've heard before. Know this one, Ali. Heard the punchline. Let's not live like it's the punchline. Let's live with that as the bottom line, the foundation that we live out of, that in his love we would come alive, that we would enjoy more and more and more. He is a good Father who's pleased, who loves us.